Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle on 1150 AM. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time, I interviewed Jay Widener, the producer of the wonderful TV program called Gaiam TV. And during this next hour, I will be interviewing Gordon Ashner Davidson, the author of a wonderful book called The Transfiguration of Our World. But in the meantime, before we go to our next guest, I'd like to bring on a wonderful person from the New Renaissance Bookstore in Portland, Oregon. If you are in Portland, or if you're from the Seattle area and you're going through Portland, I urge you to all to visit the New Renaissance Bookstore. I believe it's one of the best metaphysical bookstores in the Northwest. And Jamie, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Ted.
Wonderful. Welcome. Welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Oh, well. Fun to be on the show.
Well, Jamie, please tell my many listeners around the Seattle area, around the world, about your wonderful bookstore.
Well, we've been around for 28 years, since 1987, and we're in four Victorian houses right on Northwest 23rd Avenue in the Pearl District. And we have sought to create a spiritual community around the store, a real hub for true seekers of all spiritual paths, all persuasions. It's our job to help each guest take the next step on their spiritual path. They choose what path it is, what tradition they want to follow, and our job is to provide the resources to help them move forward. And so we have over 10,000 books and about 150 different kinds of categories. We have DVDs. We have a DVD rental program. We have an event center. You've been down for doing a few events in our event center, and you brought guests down before.
Yes.
We have psychic and tarot readers. It's in four Victorians. We have all kinds of crystals, jewelry, clothing, tea, body products, as well as books, CDs, music, incense. And we just love to be here for the community here in Portland and also for people traveling through, just to help them find those hard-to-find books. The browsing experience in a metaphysical book and gift store is much different than just shopping online. You actually might find things you weren't counting on encountering in a metaphysical store.
And that's right.
Yes, for your guests in Seattle, if they're headed down I-5, we're right off the freeway, and it's an easy stop to make. We're one of the largest metaphysical gift and bookstores in the world, and we love to help people.
Well, coming from the north, I know from experience, you take I-5, go through downtown Portland, like you're going through Portland, then take Highway 26, take it into the Hawthorne, and then what's your address there?
Well, actually, if you're coming from the north, you can actually just take I-5 south and get on I-405.
Okay.
And take the Vaughn Street exit, and we're right there. It's really quite simple. We have a lot of guests coming down from Vancouver, but if you go to our website, which is newrenbooks.com, newrenbooks.com. There's pictures of what the store looks like, and there's directions. And we just got a brand new website. My daughter graduated college with a degree in media and design, and Claire has created a brand new state-of-the-art website for us. And so we're real happy with the new website. And,
wonderful. Wonderful. Well, and I want to thank you so much, too. You've supported the Modal Peace Project before by having Michiko Hayashi there give presentations, and I know it's really appreciative of that.
Yeah, well, we have over 30 events every month, all different authors. The same kind of authors you feature on your radio show we have in person in our event center.
Fantastic.
And it's a chance for people to be able to interact in person in a 2 or 3 hour workshop in a nice, cozy Victorian house and actually get to meet some of the cutting edge people of our time.
Wonderful. Well, whenever I go through Portland, I never go through Portland without stopping at your bookstore. No matter how busy I am, I always stop. It's that kind of place.
We love to see you every time.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Well, thank you so much for coming on, my friend, and the show, and we'll have you on again real soon. Again, my friends, please visit the New Renaissance Bookstore in Portland, Oregon. It's one of the best, I think, in this area.
Okay. Thanks, Dad.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. Bye-bye. Bye. Now we're back on air, and I'd love to, we'll get started here with our interview with Gordon Asher Davidson. Gordon, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Coming to us live, I believe you're in San Francisco today, Gordon?
That's right. That's
wonderful.
Where I live.
Beautiful city. I went to school at Berkeley.
You were lucky.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Of course, it's a very small conservative college, of course, and that's where I learned many of my conservative ideas. But at any rate...
Yes. That's good. You got that indoctrination.
Very religious kind of university. Anyway, and the weather's, you know, beautiful sunny weather. I'll never forget going to school down there in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and there were flowers blooming in December. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. This is a great place. But I want to read a little bit about your background so people can know a little bit more about you. I heard you on Coast to Coast here a few weeks ago, and you'd written a wonderful book called The Transfiguration of Our World and How a Light Alliance is Transforming Darkness and Creating a New Earth. And this really caught my attention because you've been in touch with the same benevolent entities that I have with the Galactic Alliance.
Wonderful.
And you and I are both on the same exact page. I've read your book, and it's just fascinating, just fascinating. I know that things are changing. You co-authored with your wife, Corrine McLaughlin, of the Practical Visionary Spiritual Politics, forwarded by the Dalai Lama and Builders of the Dawn. You are a current fellow of the World Business Academy and the Finholm Foundation in Scotland, and a member of the Transformational Leadership Council. You've also served as the founding director of the Social Investment Forum, a National Association of Investment Professionals, Money Market Funds and Community Loan Funds, and of the Coalition for Environmentally Responsible Economies, a coalition of social investment professionals, environmentalists, religious and labor leaders. You've had a fascinating background. You've lectured at over 200 universities, churches, government agencies, and educational centers in the United States and Europe over the last 38 years, including Harvard, Cornell, U.S. Department of State, the World Futures Society, and the California Institute of Integral Studies. You've been interviewed in over 130 newspapers, magazines, and radio and television shows, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, NBC TV, and Fox News. There's more here, but if I keep reading, then we'll run out of time and I won't be able to interview. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. But the bottom line with your book is that the message, I believe, is from your book and from your work is that things are changing. And things are getting better on this planet, aren't they, Gordon?
Absolutely. We are in the middle of a tremendous transformation that's been underway, especially, it has been for quite a long time, but especially since 9/11, which was a seminal event that really had a tremendous cosmic implications where at that time, because of the darker forces were about to fully take control of the planet after because our Earth is a chakra in the body of the solar being, it was decided at a solar systemic level that the darker forces have had their day on this planet, and the leadership of that would be removed. And they gave permission to the galactic civilizations to begin doing so in 2002, and that has been underway ever since. It's now complete. There are no more extraterrestrial negative forces on Earth, and we are now in the process of working through the transformation of the human cooperators with that group.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, I was at James Gillian's ranch here about 3 weeks ago, and with James Gillian, another wonderful spiritual healer.
Yes, I know who he is, yes.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, named Ray Chandran from Japan. He's actually from India, but he's lives in Japan now. And we did a joint meditation session at James Gillian's UFO ranch, and I was given the message to do some meditation to ask the star people, the galactics, to come in and continue to clean up Fukushima, because our government, I don't think the U.S. government doesn't know what to do, the Japanese government doesn't, and so those reactors are still pumping radiation, extremely toxic radiation, into the Sea of Japan. So I'd like to just take a minute. I know you've got a section in your book about it. I'd like to talk about that for a second, but. For a minute, I'd like to do a meditation and ask all my listeners in the United States, Canada, and Japan, and around the world in more than 60 countries, to send love and light to the people and the children, not only of Fukushima, but also to the people of Japan, and to give the permission of the Galactics to come in and clean up that radiation, and also in the Pacific, too. I know that the Galactics stepped in a year ago and cleaned up all the Pacific, and I'd like to ask for their help again. So just for a second, I'd like to take a moment to send love and light to the children and the adults in Fukushima, and also to the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, to give them the resources they need to privately send angel water, which is anti-cancer water, to the children of Fukushima. So just for a minute, I'd like to take a minute and meditate. And if you could, just cover Fukushima and lots of white light, the people and the children there, as well as the country of Japan, to help them cope with, to take away this radiation so it doesn't harm them. All right, thank you. I know that really helps. In your book, Gordon, on page 74, you write that you discussed how the radiation is being contained and neutralized by the Galactics.
Yeah.
And I was in Japan in May, and in Tokyo, and also down at Mount Fuji. And people are going about their daily lives and everything. If the Galactics had not stepped in, I think that probably there'd be a lot more people suffering from radiation, wouldn't there, in Japan and across the Pacific?
Absolutely. They have been very engaged. In fact, there were actually some videos taken of ships over the site at the time when it first occurred.
Well,
I don't know if you ever saw those, but
no.
It was very interesting. And what the information I've gotten is that they have been deeply engaged in, and they do have the technology to neutralize radioactive substances, and they have been doing so ever since it started. And if it hadn't happened, it would have been a horrible disaster for the Pacific and for California and the United States as well. There are actually citizen monitoring groups that are, have their own measurements of the radioactivity along the whole coast of California, and they are all saying there is no significant amount of radiation coming into California through the air. And in the water, there's a institute called the Klinghoff Institute, and there's a doctor who has been investigating and studying fish in the Pacific for many, many years, and at one point he was very concerned about what was going to be the impact on those fish. But about almost a year ago, he made an announcement that there was some radioactive effect, and then suddenly it all disappeared.
Absolutely.
On all the fish.
Absolutely.
He said that actually in public. And that is very interesting to me, evidence that there is, in fact, real activity going on here by the galactic civilizations to protect us from this particular incident, which was another kind of instigated incident.
Well, we can go many, many ways now with that. I have to tell you that you're so lucky to live in California, because a year ago, when I was trying to get Washington state government to do testing of our ocean water off the coast, our Governor Inslee here in Washington absolutely refused. So did his public health director. Refused. And President Obama has shut down all of the radiation monitoring stations along the U.S. West Coast, so there's no help on the federal government. Oh, mind you, those federal scientists and state scientists, too, here in Washington State, they're still eating their donuts and drinking their coffee and getting their nice salaries, but they just don't do any testing. But I want to give a big hand to and a thanks to Governor Jerry Brown and his public health director, because they told me last year that their office would test all the salt water we want off the Washington coast for free. And this is something our government up here refused to do. So I want to thank you for that and thank the people of California for doing that testing.
He's a good man. He's
good
doing
man.
Good things. Yes, absolutely.
Good man, Governor Brown. So I appreciate that. But it's nice to know that we're getting help. And from what I've been told, I've been in telepathic communication with Ambassador Terwilliger of the Galactic Alliance for the past year, that they're not going to let us commit suicide with excessive amounts of radiation coming across the Pacific.
That's right. Nor will there be any nuclear exchanges at this time on this planet. It will not happen.
Excellent.
It will be completely prevented.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I can't tell you how happy I am for that. And
me too.
Yeah, you know. But one of the things that I've always wondered about, and perhaps I know you probably have a lot to say about this, Gordon, is the function of evil and darkness. I mean, why did we have evil on this planet? Why does evil exist? Why does negativity exist?
Well, yeah, that's a very important question.
Uh-huh.
And I think it comes, well, in terms of the actual forces that were present on this planet, I mean, if you really go down to the core of it, it is about presenting to humanity the choice between the path of light and the path of selfishness, greed, and darkness.
Sure.
And that each member of the human family, because of the conditions on the Earth, because there was an extraterrestrial invasion many millennia ago, and they set up their control systems and tried to co-opt and tempt many humans into working with them to gain power and control, which many,
right,
many people did.
Right.
And that established these kind of control systems we have today, which are rapidly breaking down, by the way.
Wonderful.
They actually presented us with, from that time on, the opportunity to make that choice between light and dark, in which way each person chose would bring the resulting karma of that choice,
mm-hmm,
and then people would ultimately learn to make better choices in the future. That has basically been our evolutionary way of growing over our entire history.
Mm-hmm.
And the dark forces had a lot of material control over the planet,
mm-hmm,
but then we had many great spiritual teachers and masters come to humanity and explain the higher opportunity and the path of light and love, and many, many people have benefited from that and have made that higher choice. So now, because of the incredibly intensified, increased light and love that's being radiated to the planet from the galactic civilizations as well as the center of the galaxy and many other sources, including the masters, there is a such an increase that it's stimulating an awakening all over the planet, which we can see. And we can see the results of that everywhere, whether you look at the Middle East or you look at what's going on in the United States, even though it also, at the same time, stimulates all of the darker tendencies in human beings, because it's an energy intensification. It's basically neutral. It stimulates whatever's there. But people have to choose to direct that energy into the higher consciously, or they're going to have their lower tendencies even further stimulated. And of course, the cabal, the dark control forces, are very adept at using the media and many other ways to manipulate humanity into,
sure,
fear and a sort of comatose state so that they won't,
right,
wake up. But
right,
there is a huge awakening going on this planet. There is no questioning about that.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating, fascinating. Now, on chapter 11, on page 42 of your book, and I urge everyone to get a copy of Gordon's book, because it's just a fascinating read. Again, the title is called The Transfiguration of Our World, How a Light Alliance is Transforming Darkness and Creating a New Earth. If you go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on this week, on today's guests, you'll see Gordon's name there. But you write about the cabal's loss of power. Could you explain a little bit about that? That's fascinating, what you've written here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because of this change that came about in the whole system and the removal of the leadership of the dark side,
mm-hmm,
and the increase in light radiated to the planet, there's been a very intensified process of planning and organizing to actually transform, either by turning to the light or removing from the planet, all those who are deeply engaged in the darker control systems.
Okay.
That has been underway, that plan has been underway for a long time, and it is now coming to the point of real fuller implementation every day. And you can see that through one of the figures I like to cite is there's over 2,500 CEOs, CFOs, and top executives in the financial world who have either resigned, disappeared, or been indicted. And that is 10 times the statistical norm. There have been studies done on this. And what's happening is they are being pressured by the Light Alliance to move out and allow more aware, conscious, lighted people to come into those positions. And that is gradually moving things forward in the financial world very slowly. But there is a much more complete plan, as you know from reading the book, where I describe how the whole banking system is going to be reformed. The banks will be rechartered as public utilities instead of profit-making corporations that benefit a few people. And we will have no interest charged on money circulating or on loans. We will have a worldwide stabilized currency backed by gold and commodities. We will have circulation of the resources of the planet so that every single human being has the basics they need to survive. Because that survival fear, that subconscious fear that is prevalent in humanity, even people with lots of money, is one of the ways that the dark side has controlled humanity. Because when people are in fear, it's easy to manipulate them. But when people understand that they do, will be, there is a benevolent help being given, and it's also based on our awakening. We have to awaken enough so that they can give the help, because if they can't just rescue us, that's not the plan. It's as we wake up, every time we take a step to free ourselves, they can give more help. It's a balance so they do not interfere with our free will, and that's being carefully maintained. But now the level of awakening and activism that you see on the planet is so powerful, and it just feeds in this virtuous loop where the more help we get, the more we wake up, the more we wake up, the more help they can give, and it just keeps on going.
Right, right. Well, I think that's certainly one of the reasons for the success of your book and the success of my radio show, is that people are waking up, and they know that there is a brighter future ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've been in touch. I'm a psychic, been a psychic for about past 25 years, and I've been in touch with Nostradamus on the other side, and he said that the timeline changed about 4 or 5 years ago, where we were at one time headed for some very stressful times ahead, but now that's completely changed, and he says now that we are headed indeed for 8,000 years of spiritual peace and prosperity, which will really take hold in what's already started now, but it'll continue. The momentum will continue to build into the 2020s and 2030s, and we're looking at a future not only for ourselves but our children and our children's children, far brighter and far happier than anything experienced in
the
past.
Right. And that's absolutely right. I totally agree. And it's very important for us to understand that we are contributing to and helping to create that future by the vision we hold of the future. And one of the dark side is always trying to have people have a very fearful, dark vision of the future through the media. But the reality is, because they don't want us to be creating an image of a positive future, because that is, in fact, what is going to help create it.
Right.
And so we have a very important role here in that.
Right.
And so we're doing it, and we're working towards that as more and more people wake up. And I see the future that I'm getting, the vision of it, is so fantastic. It's incredible. And we're going to have free energy, which means we're going to eliminate all fossil fuels. We will no longer need them. We will be able to desalinate water at an incredibly inexpensive cost and make the deserts bloom again. This planet is going to become a garden planet.
Mm.
And one of the goals and the prime directive of our whole civilization is going to become to rebuild the Earth and regenerate the ecological systems and end all of this exploitation and horrible things happening into the animals and plants and everything on our planet.
Well, Gordon, you know, as you said that just now, this entire studio just became much lighter and much wider, because I know my angel
friends
are here, and they're all clapping, saying thank you. Thank you for saying
that. That's the Divine Mother and all of her allies.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many things to talk about, but there's one interesting issue that certainly I've thought about in the past, and that's genetically modified organisms, GMOs, here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
On page 88 of your book, you talk about that and what's happening. Tell me a little bit about, you said that GMOs will be phased out in the new civilization. As of yet, they have not severely damaged humanity's health, but if continued over an extended period, they would. The Galactics are working to neutralize their effects on humanity so that their harmful effects can be evident to all. And you mentioned an alternative as well. Radio wave treated water, a groundbreaking new Irish technology, which energizes water and massively increases the outputs of vegetables and fruits by up to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about that, maybe?
Yes. Well, I mean, I think that we can see this beginning to unfold, because Monsanto has now become being exposed, and the kinds of effects, as the World Health Organization just announced, that, you know, that glycophosphates can have a very severe effect on people's health and even seem to be cancer causing. All that is really undermining the whole basis for GMOs, and that's rapidly moving along very well, and there's huge groundswell against it now.
Right.
And The idea that you can use radio waves to increase yields is not totally new. There are actually technologies using music, playing music in the fields that actually help plants grow as well. But this particular new technology is very powerful, and it's now being used more and more, and it's helping to increase yields without any of the chemical, GMO approaches. And it just helps increase the plant mass on our planet, which, of course, we want to do because it helps take in the CO2 and process that and store it. So, what I was so interesting in general is every problem we have, you can look out in the world and see the prototypes of the absolutely brilliant new holistic, whole system solutions for them.
Sure.
The problems have solutions. They just need to be publicized and scaled up and brought into full.
Gordon, are you there? Well, we lost him, my friends, but this is a good time for a little bit of station announcement. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. And I wanted to also mention, we'll get Gordon back on the air here in a minute, but I wanted to say that the other thing to remember is that the wonderful work of Dr. Masaru Emoto in Tokyo before he passed on last year showed that if you send love and gratitude out, it does have not only an effect on water and energizing the water and revitalizing it, but I think if you did the same experiment too with your plants and pets too. So if you have some plants growing, if you're raising a garden, go ahead and send love and gratitude to your plants and see the amazing results. I think that certainly that would help them grow. And I also want to say that Gordon's new book called The Transfiguration of Our World, How a Light Alliance is Transforming Darkness and Creating a New Earth is absolutely fascinating. He writes about how we've been controlled in the past, negatively controlled, but those controls now are being eliminated. There has been a struggle in the past between light and dark forces on this planet, but as things are getting better, and I know that we've got a very, very bright future ahead of us. One of the chapters he writes about in chapter 35 are about the meaning of crop circles. I know that here in Washington State, for those in the Seattle area, there's been crop circles appearing every 2 or 3 years in eastern Washington in an area called Wilbur, Washington. Now, the last time this occurred was about 3 years ago, and I am planning a trip to eastern Washington if they appear this year, but they haven't shown up yet. But when they do, we will. I'll organize a trip and go and bring as many people as I can there. One thing I wanted to tell you while we're having this little bit of a break, while my wonderful sound engineer Eric tries to reach Gordon again, is that I am planning a trip to James Gillian's UFO Ranch on September 11th, 12th, and 13th. I will be giving a lecture on ETs and life from beyond this planet, and it's a place. There's an energy vortex. Several vortexes on James's ranch, and there's a healing center as well. There's two healing vortexes there, and the nice thing about James's ranch too is that you see UFOs coming and going constantly at night from his ranch. You also see them come out of the south side of Mount Adams. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, a famous American psychic, was there about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was there as part of a conference. And she had taken pictures of the rocks around James's ranch, and also James had showed a lot of rocks at the south side of Mount Adams, which clearly shows there's an energy portal there, and there's spacecraft that you actually see at night leaving Mount Adams and going in and out of the mountain. But it's a fascinating place, and it's an energy vortex that's very close. If you'd like to go on a trip down to Mount Adams, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is just $99 for the weekend. It includes a lecture and psychic readings as well. I'd like to take a short break here, and we'll play our promo for Brady's Oysters and Orion Tech Computers. Ryan's a wonderful man. He's been doing work, computer work for me now for the past year. And we'll take a break, and then we'll try to get Gordon back on the line. Please stand by. To a friend of mine named Orion, he does wonderful computer work. I've hired him myself to do work, and I've been very pleased with everything he does. His website is OrionTechWorks.com. That's OrionTechWorks.com. And Orion, are you there?
I'm right here, buddy.
Okay, great, great. Could you tell my listeners, please, a little bit about the work you do?
Well, I've been basically involved in the computer field since about 1962, actually. I had the first commercial personal computer that was ever sold in America. It was actually sold by Sears Christmas catalog in the 1962 edition. It was virtually a wooden box with some IBM punch cards and some copper rods. You really couldn't do much with it. But it started my my computer career. And so since then, I've been involved in all kinds of different platforms. In the early 80s, when personal computers came out, I actually programmed the first color joystick drawing program that was available, and wrote CAD/CAM software, wrote a lot of database software. When color PCs came into the PC world, you know, the IBM PC world, I jumped on the platform as soon as we came up to 32,000 colors available, which is basically you can do.
Wow.
You know,
well, I just
really great work there.
Wonderful, Orion. Well, I wanted to tell people briefly that Ryan's done work for me. I used to have Windows 8.1 operating system. I had all kinds of problems with it, and Ryan was able to take it off and replace it with a wonderful new Linux operating system that's very stable, and I have no problems with that whatsoever. But your email is Ted, T-E-D, at OrionTechWorks.com, and your telephone number is 541-633-7340.
And that's correct.
Yeah. And I just want to say that you do wonderful work, and I highly recommend you.
And you can give me my Skype ID, too. For the people that are on Skype, you can get a hold of me at Orion.M1.
All right, Orion.M1. Well, Orion, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on today. And I know that I want everyone, if you have a computer problem or a software issue, please contact Orion. He'll give you some great help.
Yeah, just email me or call me, and we can take it from there.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan, for coming, taking your time today.
Oh, thanks, Ted, and keep up your good work, my friend.
All right, thank you so much.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Well, welcome back, my friends. We lost our wonderful guest there, Gordon. Mysteriously, the phone line was cut. But now we're back online. We're not using the phones anymore. We're using Skype. So, Gordon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, it's a wonderful connection. Thank you so much for coming on. I want to tell you, too, that I do organize UFO and metaphysical conferences up here in the Seattle area. And I know we talked about this earlier, but you have a standing invitation to come to any one of my UFO conferences that I have up here. My next one will be on May 20th, 21st, and 22nd. In the Lacey, Washington area. And I know we talked about those dates before and you may be busy, but if something breaks free on your schedule, you're more than welcome. Love to have you come up, Gordon, and also, too, for any other event that I have up here.
I would love to come. I would certainly do it if my schedule allows. I will definitely be there.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later off air, but I just want to let you know that if you can come up, I plan other things, too, and I would love to have you up. You know, you talked about how people are waking up and how we can all make a difference in the world. I mentioned while we were trying to get you back on the wonderful work of Dr. Masaru Emoto in Tokyo before he passed away last year. I like to mention him on my show because I think he did such a fantastic job in showing people how through their thoughts that they can actually create a better and happier planet. Much better.
Absolutely. Extremely important for his work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I can't say enough good things about the Emoto Peace Project for their work in Tokyo. I they're one of the few private organizations which are actively helping the children of Fukushima to prevent them from getting cancer. They send what's called angel water to these kids there at Fukushima. And when I'll be going actually to Japan, November 10th through the 14th, and I hope to visit Fukushima if there's time during that time. They're one of the few private organizations that are doing anything to help these kids and the families out. There are almost, I've been told, there are almost 300,000 people still living in shelters 4 years after the nuclear accident. And
wow.
They don't get any help. They don't get much help from the government. They get some help from private sources, but that's it. So if you can support their efforts, their website is www.emotopeaceproject.net. You can also send donations to our radio at Out of This World 1150 at gmail.com by PayPal. But getting back to your book, you've got a chapter on crop circles, and I'd love your perspective on crop circles.
Yes, they are actually communications from galactic civilizations to humanity to help us understand that there are other civilizations that are very active and very intelligent and are attempting to communicate with us. You know, I've seen videos actually of them being made. I don't know if you've seen these, where what happens is there's like a light orb that comes down and just moves around extremely rapidly and does pushes down the grass or the wheat or the crop,
sure,
and actually creates the formation. And some of them are so beautiful and so intricate. And when you tune into them, you get this absolute sense of the incredible depth of consciousness that's created them. I mean, there's very few people human beings who could even draw them, let alone create them in a field.
Wow.
But another very interesting thing about crop circles, when they had the 70th anniversary of the D-Day invasion in Normandy,
yeah,
just about 6 months ago, at that exact day, in England, right across the channel, very close to where they had the meeting, the commemoration, a crop circle appeared, and it was in Morse code. So there could be no question about what it meant, and it said, "No more war."
Oh, my God. What amazing. And then you know something? That wasn't reported on CNN, the New York Times, Washington Post. Nothing in this country.
I'm not surprised about that.
Nothing. Nothing.
No, of course not. I mean, that's... The mainstream media is still, for the most part, controlled by the cabal, so
yeah,
they aren't going to give us any hope for that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But another interesting thing is that there's a very wealthy Russian billionaire, I don't know if you heard about this,
uh-huh,
who just donated $100 million to back the SETI project, which is sending radio waves into space, listening for responses from other civilizations.
Oh,
it's rather, you know, amusing in a certain way. And here all these galactic civilizations are already communicating telepathically with hundreds of people, and there is, you know, all these crop circles coming out, and all this, and they're talking about sending radio waves into space. You know, it's so silly, but
yeah,
it does help. It does help bring anchor into human consciousness the idea that even in a very, very mainstream setting, scientific setting, that there could be other civilizations out there. And that's important.
Oh, absolutely. And that's especially it's kind of really funny in a way, because all that Russian gentleman has to do is give our government a call, anybody in the American secret space program, and you know, maybe they'll take him up there. I don't know, but I mean, our government's been involved with these reptilians since 1954, after Eisenhower signed this illegal agreement with them, that in exchange for their technology, they'd we would illegally allow them to abduct and study the humans here on this planet. So
yes,
that's a joke. I mean, there's all kinds of things go on. If people come with me on September 11th, 12th, and 13th to James Gillian's ranch, they can not only see the craft flying around, but the time I was there about a month ago, I was really tired. I'd had a really busy last couple of months. And James asked a Pleiadian spaceship that was in the fifth and sixth dimension came down, and you could see it. On the left side, it was yellow. On the right side, it was like a pinkish reddish. And there were seven mm-hmm. Pleiadian orbs, which were orbs because they didn't have any physical bodies in the third dimension. They came down and did healing work among us. There was a Japanese tour group there along with a group of Australians. And some of the orbs went right into my body, did some healing work, and I have felt great ever since. They took away my tiredness and gave me a lot of good energy. So I appreciated that. So if anybody out there has doubts whether there's life on other planets, just come on down September 11th, 12th, and 13th at James Gillian's Ranch. Send me an email. Be happy to send you some information, or you can go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on events. It's an out-of-this-world experience. And from Seattle, you're only, 4 or 5 hours away. It's not like you have to fly 10 hours or 20 hours. It's right here. There's an energy vortex
right.
there. There's another energy vortex at Mount Shasta. I'll be going, I'll be one of the speakers, actually, at Rob Potter's wonderful UFO conference, August 19th through the 23rd at Mount Shasta. And there's another energy vortex there, too, where spacecraft fly in and out all the time. So if you, for those out there who want proof, well, I can provide it to them. No problem. No problem.
Great. Yes, there's a lot of people who are having these experiences, and the evidence is accumulating. So, you know, there are 8 countries that have actually now released some portion of their UFO secret files,
yeah.
including, you know, and as you probably know, and that is very helpful also. And then all the testimony from military intelligence people who are talking about their experiences, pilots, you know, with UFO craft. I mean, what's happening is there's a steady release of this information in many different ways to prepare humanity for the ultimate revelation that there are other civilizations, and they have been in communication with us, and they are very present, and they are assisting in our transition in this very delicate process that we're in the middle of.
Right.
And all of that is going to be released to humanity, but we must have first a certain establishment or a level of peace and sharing and all that on this planet, which is planned, and there's going to be a specific way that comes about, as you know from reading the book, which we call the Day of Revelation.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And one thing, too, I want everyone to remember is that we are powerful spiritual beings. We have something like 22 strands of DNA in our genetic makeup, which Earth scientists call junk DNA, and they're not junk DNA. They're the keys to our powerful spiritual future. And the gentleman that I had here visiting Seattle recently, named Ray Chandran, was a fantastic healer, and he had a workshop on specifically awakening those DNA strands. Mm-hmm. And I know that I do mention him quite a bit, but I really liked his work, Dr. Emoto's work. His work in love and gratitude helped people awaken those strands as well. So
yes.
I did this during the last hour with, I think earlier with Fukushima. But if you send love and light to the children and the people of Fukushima, that will really help them take away, get rid of the radiation so people don't get cancer and they don't get harmed by all that, by the reactors there. Because if the Galactics hadn't stepped in last year, Gordon, I think Japan would have been gone. Totally gone.
Oh, not only that, the Pacific Ocean would have become a radioactive sink. That's no doubt. But
oh, yeah.
They did. If they did, thank God.
Right.
And thank them. And I think that we really have benefited tremendously in many, many other ways, too. I mean, they also have helped us with many other issues. And they're also preventing any further false flag type operations that we had with 9/11, so that will not happen again at that same degree of intensity, which was the trigger event to basically say enough is enough at the solar level, and then the Galactics were taken out, which the dark side ETs were taken out, which we needed to have happen. So it's been very interesting. I call it the greatest unintended consequence in human history.
Well, I have to tell you, you probably know this gentleman named Courtney Brown. He has a institute called the Far Sight Institute in Georgia, and he does a lot of remote viewing. And he actually remote viewed. He had several of his remote viewers remote view 9/11, and there were actually a cabal that planned 9/11, executed it. And it was very interesting. And the Arabs who were people, the so-called Arab terrorists who were on the planes, they didn't have anything to do with flying the plane into the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Those planes were remotely controlled by a breakaway rogue military unit from the U.S. Military that flew those in as part of a wider scheme, a false flag attack on this country. And it was orchestrated not outside the United States, but within the United States.
That's
what I felt was just amazing from his remote viewing.
And there's a tremendous amount of evidence for that, too. If you study the amount of research that's been done and all the testimony of architects, engineers who looked at the actual technical aspects of it, there's no question that it was a series of planted explosives and, you know, a whole orchestrated event with the stand down of the jets protecting airspace and all the things that were present.
Right.
No doubt. It's irrefutable if you study the evidence.
Well, let's name some names. Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney, is the one who ordered the jets to stand down so those planes wouldn't be shot down and those planes would go into the Twin Towers and cause horrific damage.
That's right. Yes, that's correct.
So, but what's happened to him? He's probably enjoying nice retirement, earns a lot of money in his severance pay, and it's not
But no one escapes the cosmic wheels of karma.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So, doesn't matter how much money he gets. In the end, he's going to have to account for what he has done, and that will happen.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. That's true. That's true. I've asked this question of Ambassador Trevelyan, who I've been in psychic contact with now for the past year. He's with the Galactic Alliance, about the time frame. And every time I ask this question, I don't mean to bug him about it, but he's smiling now. He says that they have to be very careful in how they do this, because I've had friends and listeners ask me, well, is it within 5 years or 10 years? And the answer I get back is as soon as it's safely possible to do so, they're working behind the scenes. And I think you're already seeing the effects of that. I mean, for me to be talking like this on the radio station now, I feel completely protected, and they tell me I am, so I don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
And I know with your work as well. Sure, they may try to. I think they cut off the phone lines here a few minutes ago. But we lost 5 minutes. Got you back on. So what?
Right.
Who cares? If that's the worst they can do, you know.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree. And we are, all of us who are doing this kind of work, are fully protected.
Sure.
And we're moving so rapidly, you know. The question of timing is a very big one, and I get it all the time.
Uh-huh,
and
sure.
What I am getting is that part of the timing is tied to our solar system making an alignment with the other six solar systems that compose seven solar systems as a chakra, seven solar chakras of a greater being, and that process of aligning all of those seven solar systems in a perfect alignment is very near completion. And then that makes an alignment with the heart of the galaxy. When all that's lined up, which is not long in the future, at that time we will have this release of this massive wave of love that's going to flood the planet at a level of intensity. A level of intensity we've never had before, ever. And what that means is everyone who embodies any love or understands love, it doesn't mean you have to be perfectly loving, but who understands that love is a fundamental principle of life and that it's very, very important. Anyone who has any understanding of love will be fine. All the people who vibrate at the frequency of fear, hatred, anger, and all of those things will not be able to stay on this planet.
I've heard that.
Yes.
Interesting.
That is a very major thing. And that is what we call the day of revelation. All those people who are at those lower frequencies will be given opportunities to move into dimensions and realms where they can continue their evolution at a frequency that matches their own with the conditions that thereby pertain. And I wouldn't want to go there for vacation. And then they will continue their evolution. And meanwhile, on the planet, we will have the people here of goodwill with a loving heart who want to see this planet become a beautiful garden of light. And that's what we will create with the help of the Masters and the Galactics and all of the and nature and the Divine Mother and all the nature kingdoms. We will rebuild and recreate this planet into what it is meant to be. And that is inevitable because it expresses the will of the solar being. And as I like to say, nobody can fight Solar Hall.
That's funny. Or as James Gillian has said before in his YouTubes, resistance is futile to the light forces.
That's right. You will be assimilated.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so we are going into we are in this process, and it's underway.
Right.
And there's no stopping it. Nothing the cabal does or anyone does can prevent it ultimately from happening in its own right timing.
Right. I did make a promise about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was at James Gillian's ranch to mention this several times on my radio show for everyone to send white light and love to the children and the people of Fukushima in Japan, for the Galactics to step in and take away that radiation so they're not harmed. I know I did this earlier during the show, but I'd like to do it one more time just for 30 seconds because your thoughts do help and do make a difference. And I was asked specifically by the Galactics to do this, so I'd like to request all my listeners across the United States, Canada, and in over 60 countries around the world to please send lots of love and light to the children and the people of Fukushima and also to the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo so they may continue their efforts to send wonderful angel water to prevent cancer there. So just if you can, just for a moment, meditate and send lots of love and light to the children and the people of Fukushima in Japan. To take away the radiation so they don't get harmed by the radiation, which is still coming out of those nuclear reactors. Visualize a lot of white light and love and golden light around Fukushima and Japan, please. All right, well, thank you. The Galactics are saying thank you. It's a message I said I would deliver several times in my show. So, anyway, Gordon.
If I could, I'd just like to share. I notice a lot of people are signing onto my website right now, but just my website is worldtransfiguration.com.
All right.
And that is, people can go there, sign up. I have a blog, and we're redoing the website. I'm going to, this fall, September, I'm going to start a new program called the Galactic News Service, which
is going to
be updates from the Light Alliance. And I'm going to be offering monthly for a very small fee. The first session is free. And it will be my latest input updates from all of what I'm receiving about this whole world situation and what's happening with the Galactics and humanity and everything. And then we'll do a little spiritual meditation and some sharing and lots of Q&A. So we will do this monthly. And
sign me up.
Okay, good. Well, you'll be on the list. I'll send it to you for sure.
Okay, great. And we'll also, if you don't mind, I'd like to link up your site with my website too, so people, once they see my website, it's something they can jump to. We've only got a few minutes left in the hour. My, how time flies when you're having fun. I wanted to tell everyone thank you so much, everyone around the world, for listening and for sending white light and love to the children and the people of Fukushima and Japan to help them cope with the radiation from the nuclear power plants. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be having some fascinating guests, including Carol Rosen, who was the assistant to Wernher von Braun. She has lots of fascinating things to say about the UFO and the cabal. I've asked Corey Good to be on the show. I hope to get him on soon. And we'll also have another gentleman named Richard Allen Miller, who's a fascinating fellow. And I've also asked Nick Begich to be on the show as well from the United Kingdom. Anyway, we've got about a minute left or so, and I'd like to give you the floor, Gordon, to please say whatever you'd like to say to wrap up your interview. Before we go, though, I just want to remind everyone I will be at the Crystal Voyage bookstore tonight. The address is 3208 South Cedar in Tacoma. Just down the street from the Tacoma Mall on 38th Street. And the topic of my presentation tonight will be from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Galactic Alliance. And I'll also be mentioning you, of course, Gordon, and your wonderful book.
Thank you. Well, I think the most important thing I want people to understand is we are part of a much greater, powerful galactic civilization who have not abandoned us and they've always been present with us. We have not been ready for that realization, but we are now fast approaching the time when that will become an integrated part of our reality, so that we will be seeing ourselves as a planet within a series of planets all around the galaxy that we are in relationship with. We will open up interstellar travel with their kinds of stellar drives, and we will be part of the Light Alliance, which is the Galactic Light Alliance, extends throughout a very vast field of planets and civilizations.
I wanted to tell you quickly, Gordon, that I've been in touch with President Kennedy on the other side, and he said it's about time this happened. He tried to do it back in the 60s before he got assassinated.